For 6 nights in a row, he couldn't sleep. He was exhausted when he would go to bed, but he would just go off to sleep for a few moments and then be awake for the rest of the night, tossing and turning. At first, he said it was the weak and very thin mattress that he was lying on with these really bad set of box springs that was keeping him up. Then he said it was the rooster who thought that sunrise was at 3 a.m., who would continue to crow morning after morning, night after night. He then said it was the voodoo drums in the distance that were beating, that were keeping him up. Heck, he even tried to blame it on me, saying it was my snoring that was keeping him up. And Lord knows that my snoring can sometimes wake me up. I knew good and well that for 6 nights in a row, that wasn't it. He was John, one of our missionaries, John Cecil. It was his first mission trip to Haiti. It was his first time away to a fourth world country. His first time to spend any significant time away from his wife of many years. Now, Haiti in and of itself is absolutely beautiful, with its mountains and plains, with its beautiful trees and vegetation, with its flowers and nice weather. But beyond that, what there was is complete human devastation. There are those who have no food during the day to eat. There are those who live on $1 or 50 cents or less a day. There are those who suffer from malnutrition, from a lack of water, from a lack of food. I knew what was happening to John was a conversion. It was, as John of the Cross says, it was his dark night of the soul. John's whole interior being was being transformed. His whole life was being remade. His body and spirit and soul was being washed clean. When John came home from Haiti, he was different. John went a very quiet, humble individual, hardly saying a word. When he came home, he couldn't quit talking. And he's still talking today. He talked for days once he got home. He talked about what had happened there, about how he had seen, what he'd experienced there. This individual who had come to expect his wife to wait on him started waiting on her. She knew, whoa, this is not the same man who left and went on a mission trip. Something has happened to him. You know, in that experience, when John came back to our parish, John started doing things that he had never done before. John was a marginal Catholic. There were some Sundays, some weeks, some months, he didn't come to church at all. But John began to serve at Mass during the week and on the weekend. He became a sacristan. John made his way to Koinonia, something he said, I would never do. I don't do retreats. John became a retreat leader in the Koinonia movement. And then John did something else that he said, I will never, ever do. He entered the diaconate. And God willing, this September the 16th, John Cecil will be ordained for the diaconate. And after that, he will be preaching. He will be marrying people. He will be burying people. And he will be baptizing people, bringing people into the power of God. You see, the power of what happened to John in his conversion was that not only did he take a step with Jesus, but he let Jesus find him. And once Jesus found him, and once he took those first steps with Jesus, he continued to take steps with Jesus. He continued to take steps to have the burdens of his life. We've been talking throughout this Lenten season about the rocks, the pebbles, the mountains, the weight that's weighing us down as a people. John, through the power of God, lifted those things up. And he was able to see in ways that he's never been able to see before. We see that same power in this gospel. That same power as Jesus searches out a man who's begging off to the side of the road, who's blind. And Jesus spits and takes mud and mixes it with his own saliva and then smears it on the blind man's eyes. And then he tells the man, "Now I want you to go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And the man went and he washed. And miraculously, his sight was restored. The blind man could see. But it caused a lot of trouble. It caused trouble among his neighbors, among his parents, and among those who were in higher authority as the Pharisees. It caused so much trouble that the blind man, what happened to him? He was thrown out of the synagogue. And after he was thrown out of the synagogue, Jesus did another remarkable thing. Jesus went and searched him out. Jesus went and found him, and he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the blind man said, "Who is he that I may believe?" And Jesus said, "I'm speaking to you now." And the blind man said, "I believe." You know, for the power of God to touch that man and to bring him sight, he had to take a step. He had to take a step towards Jesus. And it was in taking that step towards Jesus that Jesus again took a step towards him and he healed him. Not only did he heal his sight, but he healed his heart and he healed his soul. He healed his entire being. You know, we too can do that and have that same healing in our life. But there are two things that we've got to do. There are two things that we must do to have our hearts healed and our lives restored. The first is that we got to let Jesus find us. We got to quit running from Jesus. Quit playing games with Jesus. Quit playing hide-and-go-seek and pretending like Jesus can't see me. You know, let Jesus find you. The second thing we have to do is once we've allowed Jesus to find us and to heal us and to bring us new life, is we got to keep stepping with Jesus. We got to keep taking steps with Jesus Christ. You know, there's some people in this church who have taken some powerful steps. You've gone on mission trips to Haiti. You've gone on Koinonia retreats. You are a crossing guard who take your life in your own hands on Sunday morning as you step out onto 4th Street. You are a server in our church. You are a Eucharistic minister. You serve at our St. Benedict homeless shelter. You've done some powerful things. But we cannot allow those things to be our only step. We got to keep stepping with Jesus. And when we keep stepping with Jesus, the rocks, the boulders, the weights, the pebbles of our lives are lifted. And we're transformed. We're made anew. This week, church, what I want to invite us to do is step with Jesus. If you're weighed down with something, if there's a pebble in your life, if there's a rock, a boulder that's in the way of your relationship with the Lord, take a step. Take a step with Jesus. Some of us, it might be a really small step. Others of us, it might be a really big step. For some of us, it might mean we need to step out and be a priest, or be a sister, or a brother. For some of us, it might mean we need to take a step and move across the country, or move around the world. For some of us, it might mean that we need to go on a mission trip to Haiti, or we need to serve at St. Benedict Joseph Homeless Shelter. For others of us, it might simply mean that we need to go to confession. Maybe we sinned this week, or maybe we sinned 10 years ago. Had a woman who came to me for confession this week. She'd been away from the church for 56 years, she had not gone to confession. I told her, you get the reward. You are the person who's been away from me for the longest from the church that I can experience. And still yet, she was mercied by God. You know, maybe the step you need to take is you need to see that your child is baptized. Maybe you need to take a step to see that your child is confirmed and receives their first communion in the church. And then you need to keep stepping with them and walking with them. Maybe the step you need to take is that you need to forgive somebody. You need to quit drinking the poison that somebody else is giving to you and live in a new way. You see, we got to believe that when we start taking steps with Jesus, Jesus is going to do this. And I promise you, He will walk with you every step of the way. I am so proud as a pastor of John Cecil. I am so proud that he took this step. I'm so proud that, you know, even though he says that it was the mat on his mattress, or it was the rooster that kept him up at night, or it was my snoring, I know it wasn't. I know it was Jesus. And I know that he allowed himself to be caught by Jesus. And because of that, he can see in a whole new way. And so can we.